In the musical, The Wizard of Oz, there's a scene in which Dorothy and Tin Man and the Scarecrow are approaching a dark forest. And Dorothy asks, "Do you think there could be wild animals in there?" The Tin Man says, "Perhaps." The Scarecrow says, "Even ones that eat straw?" The Tin Man says, "Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears." To which they each say, "Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my." Sometimes the lions and tigers and bears of life are very, very literal. As we face the lion's den. But sometimes they are also like governmental bears and tigers. And sometimes our lions and tigers, our bears, are very inside of us. Internally, the things we struggle with. With that in mind, let's unpack this familiar, I hope, story. A story about two sisters. A story about an everyday type of occurrence. A meal in the home. As the story begins, Jesus and his disciples are on the way. And if you are familiar with Luke's gospel, you know that the way is a very important theme for Luke. Because each gospel storyteller tells the story just a little bit different. And for Luke, there is the beginning. Luke, as well as Matthew, tells the story of the birth of Jesus. And then there's the sense of calling that follows the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus going out into the wilderness where he faced, well, some lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. His temptations. And he called his disciples. And following that, this gospel story, according to Luke, is framed like a journey. A journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. It is a winding journey, sort of like the journey of the children of Israel when they left Egypt and crossed the sea and journeyed for 40 years through the wilderness before getting to the promised land. Jesus and his disciples are on their way, and they stop in a particular town. And there in that town are two sisters, Martha and Mary. Perhaps if you're acquainted with the wider biblical story, you think, well, where is Lazarus, their brother? Well, that's John's gospel. We don't meet him in this story. There's a wonder at the beginning of this, though. The wonder of a hostess who anticipates and reaches out and draws in, almost compelling Jesus and his disciples to come to her house. And it is there that she shares her great gift, her gift of hospitality. And she prepares for them a meal. A meal. In the gospel story, there are a lot of things left out. Things we often need to kind of sneak in between the lines. Because there's not that much attention paid as the story is told to the everyday stuff. the things you have to do every day. I mean, you have to eat. And you have to lay your head down somewhere on a daily basis. But there are not all that many stories of eating. Yes, there's significant ones, but the focus of those stories are upon something else, even when they are told. Like the story of Jesus and his disciples gathered around a table, and a certain woman comes and anoints Jesus' feet with her tears. And the focus is not upon the food on the table, but upon what is happening at his feet. But meals are important, and you know, somebody had to pay attention to that. And that, in this story, is the great gift that's lifted up about a certain character by the name of Martha. Of course, there is more to the story than just the gift of hospitality. But where I want to step in to that whole lions and tigers and bears theme is to wonder with you, what were some of Martha's lions and tigers and bears? Oh my. See, so often we tell the story and we quickly jump through Martha and almost put Martha down in our effort to lift her sister Mary up. But I have a feeling that there are an awful lot of Marthas in this room. Marthas who need to be celebrated because you pay attention to the details. And the details are very important, are they not? So what were Martha's lions and tigers and bears? Because I think those of you who are Marthas know full well. There are fears when we seek to pay attention, and there is a gift in our heart when we have that gift of hospitality that we want the persons who we are hosting to feel like my home is your home. And I think that's what Martha wanted above everything else. That was the desire of her heart in reaching out to this Jesus, that her home would be his home. And she went to use her gift. Yet something happened along the way that threatened to steal her gift away. Now, I don't know the setup of that particular home. I really don't know how wealthy Martha and Mary were, whether their home was just a single room home or whether they had separate cooking facilities where Martha could not be in the same room as everyone else as she was preparing. I don't know that. By the way, in my journey of the last week or so, when I was on the road and I chose to get breakfast, I sort of like the Waffle House. Are you familiar with that restaurant? And I figured out as I went in there why it is I like it. It's not just the food. Why I like the Waffle House is because it's like sitting in someone's kitchen, because they have the cooking facility right there in the same room with you. You've been in there before? You know what I'm talking about? Now, I imagine for somebody who spends a lot of time in a kitchen, that would not be necessarily, you know, something they'd really like to do, spend more time in somebody else's kitchen. But there is something about eating in a kitchen, somebody's kitchen, that is warm and inviting, and it makes us feel much more at home than if we are at a formal table, right? Now, I don't know what the setup was in that particular home. But you have Martha, who pays attention to the details because she is concerned for these things. But something threatens the very use of her gifts. And she focuses upon her sister. Her sister who is not cooperating. You know, we're supposed to be a team here, right? Mary, why aren't you helping me? But where is Mary in all of this? She is sitting at Jesus' feet. And perhaps her gift is not the gift of hospitality. She is focused in her attention. Now, I don't know. It could be that Martha is your leaning in the direction of obsessive compulsive disorder, you know. And maybe Mary, well, I don't want to say necessarily that she could be struggling with ADD, but maybe sitting at Jesus' feet is the very thing that she needs, is to just focus and not be distracted by so many things. And she is paying attention to that part. I don't know. I don't want to psychoanalyze these two women. But just wonder with you what Martha's lions and tigers and bears are, to the point that perhaps I could encourage you to address your own lions and tigers and bears with Martha. At a certain point, she comes to Jesus and she draws Jesus' attention away from the stuff that they were involved in, wherever in the house they are involved in it. And she says, Jesus, would you tell, this is Pete's paraphrase, would you tell my sister to get off her butt and come help me? And what does Jesus say? It starts out, I love those words, and I'm going to come back to it. It starts with her very name, Martha, Martha. And that's the Greek, by the way, Martha, the very word, Martha, Martha. Let's see. Let me do it in Greek first. I always like to try doing this. Martha, Martha, merimas kai therobaxe peripola. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and disturbed. You are careful and troubled. You are worried and distracted. You are fretting and fussing. You are worried and bothered, disturbed, upset about many things. The world is threatening to fall apart. The gift, pull apart. How many of you been there? Know what that's about? Your great gift, the thing you love with all of your heart to provide, is being threatened. And the chaos of the situation is leading you away from the good news that is there in you. Pulling you apart. Perhaps you have done it. I think of a few people in our congregation who are facing some similar situations in your daily life, and encourage you to hear the words of Jesus to you. As Jesus goes on to say to Martha, and here it the translation should be, there are few things that are needful, perhaps even one. In other words, if I might paraphrase again, you've heard the thing, you know, the phrase, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. I'm not sure I totally buy that. That's not really what Jesus says. Jesus does say, focus upon what's essential. And I believe that Jesus was trying to draw Martha not to become necessarily like Mary, because they're two very different people, but to focus upon her gift and not lose track of it. To center in. Because all those lions and tigers and bears, they want to bite off your arm. They want to pull you apart. They want to tear you to pieces. What does that lion says in The Wizard of Oz? Put him up, put him up. Which one are you first? I can fight you both together if you want. I can fight you with one paw tied behind my back. I can fight you standing on one foot. I can fight you with my eyes closed. Threaten to pull you apart. But keep focused upon the word of your Lord. A meal. I said earlier that There are not many instances of meals in the New Testament. They're actually talked about and focused upon. Not totally truthful, though. There is one that lies at the heart of our faith. The one meal that is the focus of Christians around the world, no matter how we interpret what is eaten. It's a meal that draws us together, that pulls us into one. And it's a very simple meal. It's not all that complicated. It's not got so many different courses. There are but two. The basics. The bread. And the wine. Just very simple. Focused. With it we remember. Every time we do so. Last week I was able to worship with some friends down in Asheville, North Carolina. And they had communion last week because it was the first Sunday of the month, and that's what their tradition does, the first Sunday of the month. And they did it a little bit different. They didn't pass the plates as we will. They had a loaf of bread, and we were called to come forward and pull a piece off of it as the person shared with us a bit of good news, a blessing from God. This is for you. And we pulled off a piece of bread, and we had a choice there of either wine or grape juice that we could dip it in and take it. And I know as I was leaving and sharing with the person who was the officiant at that church, the minister, I shared with her it was just nice to just be. And she knew that I was a minister myself. So on a Sunday morning, I do. So it's nice just to be. And that's what, in some ways, what this meal is about. Just being in God's home. With God's hospitality. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my lions and tigers and bears. My cup runneth over. You are invited to the Lord's table right now.